Welcome back. Chunky's coming to you live on 106.7 The Fan and the Team 980. Tomorrow, it's a throwback Thursday. Our first in the month of July, we'll bring back an old school segment, play some old school songs from back in the day. So you want to stay tuned for that. But joining us right now to talk some college football, he writes for CBS Sports. It's Chip Patterson. What's going on, Chip?
Chip.
Oh, man. It's that time, you know? Like, you get back from you get back from the holiday weekend, everyone looks around, and you're like, okay, what's next? And the answer's college football. So I've been gearing up. I'm ready to go.
I swear to God, I see a story about Arch Manning every day.
They're everywhere.
Is he going to be the real deal?
I think so. I'm not going to go over my skis. And that's one of the things, honestly, from my position, to pull the curtain back. The hype is so great that I don't even need to drive the bus, right? We're already talking about him. Now, do I believe that there are a lot of things lined up for Arch Manning to be successful? And first of all, defining success, do I think Arch Manning will be the quarterback of a Texas team that is competing for an SEC championship? Yes. Do I think Arch Manning will be the quarterback of a Texas team that is good enough to win the national championship, the program's first in 20 years? Yes, I do. But a lot of that is also because I think Arch Manning has been set up for success. I think that Steve Sarkisian and his staff have loaded up this roster at all the right positions, including the lines of scrimmage. They've bolstered the skill positions in the offseason. I mean, this is a program that has been built in the image of the place where Steve Sarkisian was an offensive coordinator for a little while up in Tuscaloosa. You know, he knew when he took the Texas job where Texas needed to change to go from being Big 12 good to SEC good. And over the course of those years, we've seen Texas. Like, we didn't even talk about, is Texas back? They've already shattered that conversation topic. Yeah. So an Arch Manning prospect. Forget the last name. Let's call him Arch Patterson, okay? So Arch Patterson, with his size, his skill set, his athleticism, everything that he's done as a quarterback prospect says that this guy can be successful. Now you put him on a team as talented as Texas. Again, we really don't even need to get to the Manning of it all to be able to predict that he's going to have a good season. Now, I think his Heisman Trophy odds are way too inflated. Would not tell anyone to buy that. I think his Heisman Trophy chances are actually not great because of the scrutiny that he's going to be under. But I think Arch would even tell you himself. And I tell you what, I got to talk to him for a little bit before it was the Texas-Washington semifinal a couple years ago. Because it's easy to forget sometimes that he's been on the Texas campus now. This will be his third year on the Texas campus. 2 years as a backup, last year getting a little bit more burned than he did the year before. I think that his goals are not Heisman Trophy. I think his goals are not SEC Offensive Player of the Year. I think that as long as they win a national championship, then Arch Manning will leave Austin feeling like he's been successful.
It's going to be interesting. By the way, we're only 52 days before Kansas State plays Iowa State in Ireland, in Dublin. So we're not that far away, man. 52 days, it'll come and go. You did a best-case scenario, worst-case scenario for the ACC, and I thought it was kind of interesting. Let's start with North Carolina, in your opinion. You have best-case scenario, 9-3. You have worst-case scenarios, 5-7. You kind of talk about the schedule. I think they open up with TCU at home, and then they've got a couple gimmies. So the schedule in the first month is pretty easy. They've got 70 new players, and obviously they've got a new coach, and it's Bill Belichick. Your thoughts on the overall roster? They got a new quarterback, this kid Gio Lopez, who comes in, I think, from South Alabama, and Bill Belichick. So how do you think Bill Belichick's going to translate to the ACC?
Well, first of all, I do need to, take some steps because they have added so many new players, not just prior to spring practice, but even after spring practice, there's been a lot of shuffling. And when they did have spring practice, none of the players wore numbers. And when they had a spring showcase and even let fans in, none of the players wore numbers. I mean, to even try to guess at the depth chart is a fool's errand.
Right.
So what I've done is I've tried to do it myself, right? I go through and I say, all right, who are the bodies here? Where did they come from? What do they look like? And how would I maybe at least put together a loose step chart to take into fall camp? And here's what I see. I see a lot of size on the offensive and defensive lines. I see skill positions, particularly at wide receiver, that do not intimidate me. I mean, gifted players that certainly could develop and in the right system with the right quarterback be able to have productive seasons. But if I'm a defensive coordinator looking at this North Carolina offense, whether it's Gio Lopez, whether Max Johnson is able to come back from his leg injury at the beginning of last year, or if they have to break glass in case of emergency and go to the true freshman Bryce Baker, whoever the quarterback is, I don't know if we've got the pieces for a super dynamic passing attack. So now I'm going to marry what I see with my eyes on the roster to what I've heard from Bill Belichick, and even more what I've heard from Michael Lombardi, the general manager. They are envious of the way that SEC rosters look getting off the bus. They, at the very beginning, said, we want to get bigger in the middle of the field. We want to dominate in the middle of the field. So, guys, like, I tell you what, this is a North Carolina team that has gotten a lot bigger and has gotten a lot stronger. I don't think they're that dynamic. The schedule is manageable, but I think that we're just going to be seeing a North Carolina team that's playing a bunch of one-score games. And that's always one thing. I mean, you guys watch a lot of college football and NFL. I mean, that's one of the biggest differences, right? I mean, just the scoring margin and how tight or loose those games can get. And I just think that this is going to be a North Carolina football team that's going to be playing a lot of close games. They're going to try to win at the line of scrimmage, a lot of ball control, a lot of run the football, something that Gio Lopez, the new quarterback from South Alabama, he does have some athleticism here. Now, my buddy Joe Giglio down here in the Triangle, you know, he says, throw on the tape when Jacoby Brissett started for Jimmy Garoppolo with the New England Patriots, because that game plan, when they were basically running the wing T with Jacoby Brissett, we might see something similar to that. And so for North Carolina, I mean, in this ACC against that ACC schedule, that's absolutely something that can go and get you 7, 8, 9 wins. I think the win total is maybe around 7.5 or so. But it's also something where you're probably not going to get totally blown out, because on the offensive and defensive lines, you're pretty strong. So they ain't going to win the ACC championship. They're just not dynamic enough at the skill positions, but they've at least built up a foundation that I think is going to make it so that they're in every single game, and then hopefully being able to use that big old brain on Bill Belichick to win enough of the coin flip.
All right, so both of my daughters finally graduated from Virginia Tech, so I don't think I'm going to be spending a lot of money down in Blacksburg on the weekends in the fall. But I still kind of – I'm going to pay attention. As you know, it's a big year for Coach Pry. He is 16-21 in his first 3 years, okay? A six-year deal. He's making about $4.5 million a year. You kind of talked about him in your story. Best case scenario, 9 wins. Kyron Drones, their quarterback, has a big year. You know, they open up with South Carolina, though. Then they play Vandy, who they lost to on the road last year. They got him at home this year. But, you know, they got a lot of new transfers. Their top two running backs are transfers coming in from other schools. They went out and got Donovan Green, the receiver from Wake Forest. They got a bunch of new guys. But their quarterbacks, and I'm kind of surprised that both of their quarterbacks, Drones and Watson, stayed. Your thoughts on the Hokies and Coach Pry?
It's probably a co-sign of their new offensive coordinator, a guy named Philip Montgomery, who, you know, kind of a mixed bag when you look at everything. But what Virginia Tech is trying to tell you is that he's trying to reach back into the success that he had as an offensive coordinator at Baylor under Art Briles, and just sort of being able to look at the way that some of those quarterbacks were successful at the college level, at least, and being able to draw a straight line to what Kyron Drones can be able to do in some of the you know, the far distant cousin of some of the veer and shoot type stuff offensively. The fact that the quarterback stayed probably means that they are okay. They're good with Philip Montgomery as the new offensive coordinator. And look, coaching had to change. Yeah, I just don't think you lose that many one-score games like they did last year, about a handful of them. I mean, and not only that, but they weren't winning one-score games. Right. When Virginia Tech won last year, they won handily. I mean, you know what Virginia Tech was? Man, I hadn't even thought about this yet. I'm going to have to pull this out on the Cover 3 podcast. Virginia Tech was a sunny day sailor last year. You know, like they were out there, and when they were able to get ahead, when they were able to overwhelm an opponent, like, yeah, things were going great. But there is something that, to me, just to my analysis, reflects back on the sidelines. Reflects, you know, if it's not Brent Pry, then maybe it's his assistants, and maybe that's why he's making some coaching staff changes. But for Virginia Tech, that's what I'm looking at, man. Like, how if this is a team that all of a sudden can flip a bunch of those one-score losses into one-score wins, Well, that's, you know, regression to the mean. We see that all the time in college football. But if the trend continues, then it reflects poorly on the coaching. Why is this a team that in these close games consistently cannot get over the top? I think that that would be at least worthy of a conversation, whether a change is necessary.
We're joined by Chip Patterson, college football writer for CBS Sports on the Rude Guest Hotline. So, Chip, 9-4 in a bowl game appearance. That's a great year in a lot of college football locales, but not in Tuscaloosa. So how are things shaping up for Kalen DeBoer in year two at Bama? The opening month looks pretty taxing. They face Florida State and Georgia on the road and a home date with Wisconsin sprinkled in before the schedule even gets to October.
I will say, and first of all, they're looking good, to answer your question off the top. You're catching Florida State so far from its vintage. You are catching Wisconsin very, very, very far from its vintage. You know, I think that the helmets on the helmet schedule probably look more intimidating than when we finally show up there. But it'll be a huge key for Alabama under Kalen DeBoer to see how they're able to handle the rhythms of the season. You know, it is so funny to get to the end of the year when they cannot move the ball at all and they're losing a bowl game to Michigan as a 3-score favorite. Like, just so embarrassing, just the absolute bottoms out there, you know, after missing out on the college football playoff. It's hard to forget that they beat Georgia. Ryan Williams! Great call from Chris Fowler in that sort of, like, epic back and forth. Like, they won that game, but then they lost to Vanderbilt. Mm-hmm. And then they turned things around. They blew out Missouri 41-0. They thumped LSU. And then they couldn't score a single touchdown against Oklahoma. This Alabama team last year could not handle success. Just could not handle it. And it ended up costing them with them being really the first team left out of the college football playoff. And so for Kalen DeBoer, what's it looking like? College football playoff or bust. I mean, there's just it's that simple. They are a top three team in the SEC going into the year. And I think that there is really no excuse for them not to be among the top four teams in the SEC. And I think the top four teams in the SEC this year are going to be making the college football playoff. So this is a time to reestablish championship standard, because not competing for championships 2 years in a row, especially given, again, just sort of what I see with the on-paper talent on this roster. They're doing a good job of recruiting right now. You know, June's a big recruiting month. They're cleaning up in 2026. Like, the future is bright. An Alabama fan can look at the future, can look at the present, and say, okay, last year was just a blip. We'll be right back to where we want to be here in 2025, but you still got to go out there and play the game.
Chip, great stuff. Always great talking to you.
Can't
Chip
wait.
Patterson, CBS Sports college football writer. Thanks for joining us.
Have a great Thanks holiday,
good.
Man.
Y'all be well.
Hey, coming up next, we're going to talk to our good old friend, Kevin McCarthy. There's a new Jurassic Park movie, Jurassic World Rebirth. We'll talk to Kevin next here on the Junkies.